Just excited to be a part of the Missions Conference and appreciate the invitation from Brother Abels and Miss Robin to come. We love coming here. We were here for when you all hosted the fellowship meeting, the GIBF meeting a couple years back, and man, what a great meeting that was. And good to have my wife Dina and two of our four offspring are here, Jeremiah and Jack. And my other son and his wife are back in Glendale. And my daughter Jenna is at Heartland Baptist Bible College trying to keep Brother Copes away from her on the matchmaking thing, you know, trying to keep Brother Cope's matchmaking ability out of that. But we're so thankful to be here. And just appreciate again, Brother Abels, again, the hospitality and the motel room, the meal already. I'm looking forward to this week. This is a great week. This is one of my favorite, actually is my favorite meeting at First Baptist all year long. You know, we have a revival services usually in the fall, and we have our business meeting in January. But really, folks, to be honest with you, and I know that you already know this, but this is the business meeting of the church right here. This is where we decide the fate of lost souls throughout the whole world. And it's just a tremendous blessing and privilege to be a part of what's going on right here. I mean, this is what it's all about. And just to be a part, how many of you have that? Most of you have been involved with Faith Promise Missions. Is there some in here that maybe have not been too involved with Faith Promise Missions or missions giving in the church? Well, most of you have, and that's just a tremendous blessing. And I've just been praying and asking the Lord to give wisdom and direction about the messages that are going to build upon one another, and Lord willing, culminate on Sunday. And when you get to turn in your cards and make that commitment for the year, it's just an exciting thing. I almost want to fill out a card just to help out. It's an exciting thing to be involved with that because it is Faith Promise Missions. It's stepping out by faith and trusting the Lord. And there might even be a little bit of a shake in your hand when you put that card in there, because we're going to trust the Lord to do what He wants us to do. So I pray that the messages will be a blessing, and we just want to ask the Lord to have His hand upon us. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, if you're able to stand as we read God's Word. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to begin looking in verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. I have, kind of like Brother Martinez, we have some history here in Springfield. Dina and I went to Bible college here back in the mid-90s and didn't come to Berean Baptist. I went to another church. I wish I'd have come to Berean Baptist. Went to another church. Should have. And I think you were at Knob Noster during that time. And I think I mentioned it to you when I was here last time I preached on that Sunday of the fellowship meeting, that I was a mortician for about 6.5 years or so. And then I married Dina, and the Lord called us into the ministry. And so I went to Bible college. And then went to back to Kansas, then went to Wesley Chapel, was a Methodist for a long period of time, and then now I'm a Bible church guy. So, and your pastor still invited me to come preach. What does that say? Hey, man, we're probably on live stream, aren't we? Okay, never mind. All right. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves. Jesus, of course, is speaking here, the Sermon on the Mount. And just a great passage, a great message that the Lord brings to the multitudes that were there, and many unbelievers, and also His disciples were listening as well, of course. And he says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's ask the Lord to bless tonight. Again, Father, we come into your presence today, and we're just humbled and thankful, Father, to be a part of something as great as this, and that's worldwide missions, and just fulfilling the Great Commission. Lord, you've given the local church the commission to evangelize and to preach the gospel, to baptize and to start churches. And Lord, this is what we're talking about this week, specifically, Father, to what we might be able to do for Faith Promise Missions or for worldwide evangelism. And I just ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us and help everyone to be in their places, not only tonight, but tomorrow and Friday and Sunday, Father. And I thank you for the great crowd this evening. And I just ask that you would just help everyone to have an attentive ear to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. That, Father, I know that if the folks here at Berean Baptist will just follow you and do your will, Father, then all will be well and you will be pleased and you will receive glory from that. So for just a few moments tonight, Father, just help us to look at this specific passage and Father, just about our treasure, where our heart is, and just help us to, as we get started this week, just to align ourselves with you and with your word and with your will. I thank you for the Abels family. I thank you for the wonderful folks here at Berean and the wonderful missionaries, Lord. Just what a blessed time it is. I just ask that you be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. I think you may be seated tonight. Maybe you've heard that phrase, home is where the heart is. You've all heard that. Home is where the heart is. You may have that plaque up in your house or somewhere like that. I got this off the internet, so it has to be right. It has to be correct. And so that the internet says that phrase was coined roughly 2,000 years ago by Gaius Plinius Secundus. I don't know if you know him or not, but he was a Roman philosopher, better known as Pliny the Elder, or just Pliny to his friends. And I was reading online again, so it's accurate. It says the phrase "home is where the heart is" means that no matter who you are with or where you are in the world, your family and home always have the deepest affection and emotional pull. That makes a lot of sense right there. They go on to say it is the place where you have a foundation of love, warmth, and happy memories. It might not always be the building itself, but being near your loved ones. I was reading that, I was like, that's pretty accurate. That, you know, the world would say that the home is centered around the heart and that which you love. And that's a fine sentiment, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that, because what they're saying is that it really all boils down to the object of your love. Your heart is where the object of your love is, of course. And so what do you love today? We have to ask ourselves as born again believers trying to fulfill God's will in our life. What do you love today? Because that is certainly where your heart is going to be. Now, some might even call that object of your love your treasure. They might say, well, the object of my love, this is my treasure. Another phrase that you're familiar with is one man's junk is another man's treasure. Yeah, we've all heard that. So people love their treasure for sure. I don't know if there's any hoarders in here, need help. But I don't know if but some people look at that stuff and they say, man, this is treasure to me. And so people love that treasure. Otherwise it wouldn't be called treasure. It would be called junk. Now, so as the Lord continues to speak to the multitudes, he speaks to us regarding treasures, which we understand are closely tied to that which we love. I'm having a problem here. Let me get this back on. Okay. So as the Lord speaks to the multitudes, he's speaking to us as believers regarding treasures, which we understand are closely tied to that which we love. And everyone likes a treasure. I mean, if you find a treasure map and there's been stories and lore of things that have taken place trying to hunt for treasures. To find a hidden treasure has been the subject of many movies and adventures and tales and sort. And people will spend all sorts of time and money seeking treasure. We lived just 45 minutes from the ocean there in Florida, and we would go out from time to time, actually pretty rarely. We would finally get out to the beach and try to find some secluded area, and sure enough, there'd be someone with one of those little metal detectors trying to find a treasure, and they'd have a bucket, and they'd have a shovel, and they'd be looking for that treasure. Everyone's always looking for some type of treasure, whether buried in the sand or hidden in the mountains or in the depths of the sea. There in Phoenix, in Phoenix, in the valley, on the east side of the valley, just on the other side, Scottsdale, near Fountain Hills, there's a mountain range called the Superstition Mountains. And there's a legend that this old Dutchman found a gold mine, and he mined all this gold, and then he hid it, and then he died. And so there's a fable of the old lost Dutchman's gold mine. Anyone ever heard about that? Man, it's subject of lore, and people are still looking for it today. They go hiking, and they want to find that. I mean, people are just out to look for treasure. That would be amazing, something to find. But here in our text, the Lord actually tells us that we already have a treasure. Some might be saying, I'm looking for a hidden treasure, and I'm, trying to find the X, and looking for that, looking on that map. But to be honest with you, we already have a treasure, and that treasure is particular to you today. We already have one. How do we know this? Because the Lord makes it a given that everyone has a treasure here in our text. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures. In verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure. He says in verse 21, for where your treasure is. See, everyone has a treasure. And what is your, and what is that treasure? Well, it's different for every single person that's in this room. But one thing is for sure, It's whatever you love, something material to you that you hold fast to and you hold dear to, something that is super important to you. That's your treasure. What you hold to and what you hold fast to. As I mentioned just a few moments earlier, our treasure is where our heart is and what we love the most. Now, some might say, well, my family's a treasure. Our family is certainly a type of treasure, if you will, because family is of the utmost importance today. I'm just telling you, the devil would like to do nothing but to destroy your family. That's why you need to have your family in church and serving the Lord, because if he can destroy your family and make it weak, then he can hinder the local church, and everything evolves around the local church. It's the vehicle that Christ is using today to get his work done. And so the devil wants to destroy our family. And so we only have one family, and so both the spiritual and the physical welfare of our family ought to be of the utmost importance of your life today. My Lord comes first, my family comes second, and ministry comes third. Because if I don't have the Lord, if I don't have my family, then I don't have that ministry. And so it ought to be of utmost importance. But here in our text, the Lord is dealing with even a different type of treasure than family. A treasure that involves material things. Again, look what he says in verse 19. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." See, moth and rust certainly isn't going to corrupt our family, isn't it? No, it can't. Moth and rust is not going to do that, but it can, moth and rust, corrupt that which is material. Again, look in verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." So what the Lord knows, of course, and what he's wanting every single one of us to understand is that human beings are naturally possession-oriented. We like our things, don't we? We all have possessions, and we take possessions with us everywhere we go. We are strongly inclined to be on the pursuit of seeking, acquiring, enjoying, and protecting more stuff, our possessions. I mean, you know why we have garage sales, don't you? You know why you have a garage sale? You have a garage sale so you can sell things, so what? You can get more stuff. Amen? That's why you do that. I need room for more stuff. We need to have a garage sale. You clear out the garage and then you go buy more stuff. I don't mind going to yard sales and things of that, garage sales, whatever, and things of that nature. I think that's awesome because you can get really good deals and things of that nature. Is that my wife? Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, my wife has a ring just like that. I was going to say, I was going to actually tell her, take your medicine, because that's what that ring is for. Take your folic acid. So anyway, I like going to garage sales and things of that nature. But the whole purpose of that is so we can gather more stuff. And so we gather stuff and we like our stuff. And I have stuff at home, and I actually need a shed to put more stuff in because I have too much stuff in my garage. And then the possessions there get a little bit too much. And so actually, when we came here to Berean Baptist in Springfield, guess what I did? I brought some of my stuff with me. And it's in a motel room right now. And then I brought some of that stuff with me from there, and it's in the car. And I even brought some of my stuff in here in the auditorium this evening. I'm just telling you what, we're stuff-oriented, aren't we? We have all sorts of material things, and we're naturally inclined to gather more stuff in this world. And it's just kind of natural for us. We like things because we collect things because oftentimes we feel that certain things in this world give us more security, or they give us more safety, or even more status among others. Well, I have more stuff than you do. Well, I have a bigger house, or I have bigger things. That's what this world is looking for. Well, I have a bigger car. I have a nicer car. I have a bigger home. I have, you know, and all these things. It's all usually garnered around material things, that which we can accumulate, and that's what we can possess. And so these things, these possessions include items such as clothing and cars and jewelries and toys and houses and buildings, furnishings and so forth. To be honest with you, it's a lifelong challenge just to manage the possessions that come across our path, to make the best use of them and to be found pleasing unto the Lord. That's why we're called to be faithful in our stewardship, because we have so many things. We're so blessed by God that oftentimes it takes diligence just to manage the things that he has given us, that he has blessed us with. And so we in America, and I'm very thankful. I don't want to live anywhere else, Brother Abels. We have our problems. America certainly has its problems, but I'm thankful to live here. I love this country, and I'm very supportive of our military, very supportive of our officers. And we have police officers come when I'm eating in Florida. How about Arizona? When I'm eating in Arizona, a restaurant of officers come in, I try to do my best to pay for their meal and stuff. I just love everything about our country, and we certainly have need some help. But I'm just saying, in America, we have been very blessed by the Lord. We are one of the, if not the wealthiest nations upon this earth. And what that comes with is it comes with a lot of things, doesn't it? A lot of possessions that we have to manage, that we have to look at and make certain that the Lord is being glorified in. So in our text this evening, the Lord gives us some help on managing these possessions, which often become our treasures if we're not careful. Because this is my stuff. This is my treasure. I'll give this, Lord, but you're not taking it. Oh, I'll do this, but no, you can't have that. And so we're very guarded about our things and our possessions. And so the Lord wants to give us a little bit of help tonight on how we can manage those. He gives us two options that we see in our text this evening. Two scenarios, if you will, or two outcomes, two ways, if you will, in which we can handle or steward our treasure. Now, the first option is that of laying up our treasure, that which we love upon this earth. So we have option number one, lay it up on this earth. Verse 19 tells us that again. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now, the idea of laying up in this verse carries the connotation of stacking or laying out horizontally as one stacks out coins. I don't know if you remember when you were a kid or if you do this with your work, but you have coins and you laid them all out there and then you could count them. And sometimes you have to do that when you're like vacation Bible school and you have a lot of coins and you have to put them in the wrappers for them. And you lay them out horizontally and you stack them up. That's kind of the connotation here. Now, one author says, in the context of this passage, the idea is that of stockpiling or hoarding, and therefore pictures wealth that is not being used. So we're stockpiling, we're hoarding wealth, we're laying it aside, and it's not being used for anything. He says the money or wealth is simply stored for safekeeping, and it is kept for the keeping's sake, to make a show of wealth or to create an environment, he says, of lazy overindulgence. So lazy overindulgence, wanting to show the wealth that I have, and so I'm laying up my treasure so people can see what I have. Because look at me, I have a lot of possessions. I have more than you have. Something very similar to that, if you'd like to hold your spot and turn with me over, as we find in Luke chapter 12, when the Lord speaks to the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. He says in Luke 12:16, he spake a parable unto them. Luke 12:16, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Look what he says in verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for whom? For himself. And is not rich toward whom? God. Now, we understand here back, if you turn back with me in Matthew chapter 6, we understand back in our text that the Lord is not advocating poverty. When he's saying there in 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, He's not advocating poverty that you have to give everything away. I always tell people, Brother Abel's at First Baptist, that the Lord is not against wealth. And if you think money is a problem, just give it to me. I'll manage it for you. I'll take care of it for you. Money's not the problem. It's the love of money, which is the root of all evil. So he's not advocating poverty here when he's talking about this in Matthew chapter 6. He's not advocating that just so that we can be spiritual. Listen, if you're going to be spiritual, you need to be dirt poor. Well, I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. And quite the contrary. The Lord didn't specifically require either his disciples to give up all their money and their possessions just to follow him. Well, if you're going to follow me, you have to give up everything. Give it all away. He didn't say that as well, although it may be that some voluntarily did so. You read in the book of Acts that many of them sold their possessions and gave. But what he did require was obedience to his commands no matter what the cost. That's what he did command. To obey him no matter what the cost is. And we have people sacrificing and giving this up because the Lord called them into this ministry. The Lord wanted them to do this. And there's a sacrifice, even sometimes a financial sacrifice, to follow God's will. That's what he wants, is obedience to him no matter what it might cost. It doesn't take much reading in the scriptures to see that both in the Old and the New Testaments, that the Bible recognized the right to material possessions. He's not saying that we don't have that right. Possessions that included money and that included land and included animals except for cats and houses and clothing and every other thing that is honestly gained. Think about Abraham for just a moment. He was extremely rich for his day. I'm just telling you what, a very wealthy man. As a matter of fact, I'm preaching a series right now called Walking with Giants, and I'm preaching on Lot. And like, well, he's not a spiritual giant. Well, this is what you don't do when you're walking with giants. And one of the reasons Abraham and Lot had to be separated, one of the reasons Lot went his separate ways was because of the abundance of wealth. And it wasn't managed properly by Lot, for sure. And so Abraham, he was extremely rich and probably perhaps wealthier than most of the other inhabitants in the land of Canaan at that time. Think about Job, who had tremendous wealth. And by the end of the book, after the testing that cost him everything that he possessed outside of his own life, God made him wealthier still at the end of the book. In Job chapter 42 and verse 12, it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning." So the Bible doesn't denounce that, but rather gives considerable counsel. The Bible's not denouncing wealth, but rather gives considerable counsel for the person who works hard and follows good business practices. You work hard, God's going to bless you, and He's going to take care of you. He's going to meet your needs, and He's certainly going to do that. The Lord promises to meet our needs. He didn't ever say He was going to take care of our wants and our desires, but He's going to take care of our needs. But when He does bless us, He's not saying that's a bad thing, but He says, "I'll give you some counsel on how you can manage this and how you can be found well-pleasing in My sight so that you just don't waste it and blow it out there in the world so that you're..." So he doesn't want us laying up treasures upon this earth. That's what he's trying to help us with here in our passage. And so the Lord certainly blesses His children, for which I am extremely thankful. Thank the Lord for He blesses us more than we so deserve. It's amazing. It's amazing when we just think of what God has done for us and how He has blessed us. It's the fact that I'm saved and I know Christ as my Savior, that I've been reconciled to the Heavenly Father, that I'm a joint heir to the throne of God with Jesus Christ, that I have a local church to serve in, that I have the Word of God to read, the Holy Spirit indwelling me. I'm blessed. I am blessed. And so He didn't have to do any of that. All He needed to do was save me. But yet He gave me so much more. He has given you so much more. And all He wants us to do is to follow Him in obedience. That's what He wants. So he never said, listen, He never said that possessions in and of themselves were a problem. I just want us to understand that before we get into this whole week here. He never said that possessions were a problem. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 and says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded." He didn't say charge them to get rid of all their finances. He said, "Don't be high-minded, though. Charge them, don't be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, because they take wings and fly away, don't they?" He says, "But in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." That's what he said. Paul is not saying that Christians need to divest themselves of their wealth, but rather, listen to this, simply he warns us not to be conceited about it or to trust in it. No, I think to understand Matthew chapter 6 here in our text tonight, to understand our passage before us here, is found in the simple word that's used over and over and over again, and it's the word yourselves. The word yourselves. When we accumulate positions simply for ourselves, simply for our own sakes, whether to hoard, to spend selfishly and extravagantly on ourselves, then we fall into the danger of those possessions becoming our idols, of those things hindering us from fulfilling God's will, especially when it comes time on Sunday to fill out a faith promise commitment card. That's when it becomes a problem in our life. Look again in verse 19. I'm just saying, it's right here in our text. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Listen, nothing we own is completely safe from destruction or theft. Nothing at all. And even if we are able to keep them perfectly secure during our entire lives, even if we are able to keep them squeaky clean, we are certainly separated from them at the time of death. I mean, we're not taking anything with us. I mean, we came into this world without anything. We're leaving without anything. That's a good way to say that, I suppose. So, I worked as a mortician for 6 years, a little over 6.5 years. Actually, I lived above Lohmeyer Funeral Home. That's that funeral home there in downtown. We were just by there today getting the boys a haircut and getting a sandwich. And I was like, man, that brings back memories. Jacob, my 24 and a half years, he's 24 years old, and I probably should know that. And he's 24 years old, and we brought him home to the funeral home from the hospital. Painted the upstairs, the nursery blue above the funeral home, and it was interesting. And so anyway, good memories, I suppose. But I did work as a mortician for a little over 6 years, and you know one thing I never saw, and I still kind of work for a funeral home a little bit of part-time. I work for a funeral home there in the valley in Phoenix. I probably work for them maybe once every 3 months or so, just trying to keep a good relationship with them. That'll save me from being a greeter at Walmart after I retire, you know, so I can still work in a funeral home. So I've helped them a little bit from time to time. But you know one thing I never saw at the funeral home all those years that I worked there in Kansas City and Wichita and El Dorado? I never saw a ball hitch on a hearse to tow a trailer full of treasures. I never saw that. And I know it sounds so dumb. You're like, well, that's dumb. No, really, think about that. I've never seen a funeral coach with a hitch on the back of it. Because you're not towing anything with you. You're not taking... There was one time that this one person was buried, and the family put $10,000 cash in there. They put a $10,000 cash envelope in there, and I was like, man, alive. And so after the visitation, after the funeral, I was like, you know, this is terrible. So I just wrote out a check for $10,000 and swapped it out and put the... It never hasn't cleared yet, so. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I did not do that. Never. But I did. I have placed a lot of things in the casket for the loved one. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all for that. My dad passed away in 2016. My brother passed away in 2018, and there were some mementos that were placed in the casket. I'm all for that. Funerals are for the living. They're not for the dead. When that person, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That second that you take your last breath, you're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ or in a place called hell where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved tonight. Amen. Let's not wait till next week. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Let's make certain that we're saved today. And so funerals are for the living. It helps us grieve and it helps us mourn, but not as those who have no hope, because we know where that person is. They're in heaven if they've trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. But my point is, no matter what you place in that casket or no matter what you place in the grave, and I placed some crazy things in the grave before and with the casket and things of that nature, but I'm just saying none of that's going with that individual. It's for us to help us to grieve properly. So there's no ball hitches on a casket, on a coach, because we don't take those treasures with us when we die. We can hoard those and we can build bigger barns and we can have a bigger garage and we can have a shed out back and we can rent a storage facility, a climate controlled facility if we want to. But when we die, it's gone, perhaps leaving it to our children and to our grandchildren. The Bible talks about that for sure. But we are certainly separating them from them at death. So what do we do? Well, the Lord in verse 20, he gives us option number two. He gives us the second option. And that is to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He says, but lay up for yourselves, in verse 20, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. So the Lord just tells us a couple things quickly here about heavenly riches that are of critical importance to the believer today. And that, number one, first of all, the simple fact that we must lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We must do that. I mean, this is something we must do. Jesus said, listen, look what he says there, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know what that means? We probably ought to do this. It's like fulfilling the Great Commission for the local church. That's number one priority right there, fulfilling the Great Commission. So, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We probably, as a born-again believer, ought to make this a high priority in our life that we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. It ought to be something that we think about all the time. The problem is, sometimes we forget about the importance of this command. We forget about this, and if not careful, we get too preoccupied with the world and the things that are going on. We get so busy, and things are vying for our attention or pulling us apart, and our Bible reading starts lacking, and our prayer time starts lacking, our church attendance starts lacking, our giving starts falling off, and we get so preoccupied with the things that are going on in this world. Sometimes we get too earthly minded, and we fail to remember that which is most important, which is the things of God. We realize, I don't want to insult your intelligence, but we do realize that this world is not what it's all about, right? We understand that. I was saved at the age of 7. A young boy there in Prospect, Kansas. It's just on this side of El Dorado, Kansas. I grew up in El Dorado. Dina grew up there in near Wichita area as well. And I got saved at the age of 7, and I lived my life, and I got baptized at Temple Baptist Church, El Dorado, Kansas, my home church. Ron Jones is there now. And so I got into high school, and I got out of the will of God. Everyone have that happen to you? Oh, man, I was out of the will of God and not serving the Lord. And I got doing things that I shouldn't have been doing in high school. And then it carried over into the funeral business. I became a mortician and worked up in Kansas City in Johnson County, Amos Family Funeral Home. And I still was not doing what the Lord wanted me to do. And then I moved into Wichita, and I started working in a funeral home in Wichita and then El Dorado. And I was not doing what God wanted me to do. I was living a life that was an embarrassment to the Lord, to my church, to my family. And I was getting in trouble, got in trouble with the police and things of that nature. And I remember one morning I woke up and I went to work. I think it was a Monday. I can't remember. It's a funeral home in Wichita. And I was sitting in my office and I was in trouble. I had people looking for me, and I was in trouble with the law. And I was sitting there, and it just came to me like the Lord finally broke through, and He said, "Nail, it's going to get a whole lot worse if you don't straighten up, or if you don't get your heart right." I remember I was already saved when I was 7. I knew what I was doing was wrong. I just didn't care. I just didn't care. But here at the funeral home, at Lohmeyer Funeral Home, actually, no, it wasn't Lohmeyer. That was the one. Lakeview Funeral Home in Wichita. I was sitting in that chair and I was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I called my mom up and I said, "Hey, Mom," she's a member at Temple Baptist Church in El Dorado, Kansas. And actually, I think she's going to be here tomorrow. And so I called her up and I said, "Hey, Mom, is church on at Temple still tomorrow or still Wednesday at 7? She said, "Yes," because she'd been praying for me this whole time. "Church still starts at 7 o'clock Wednesday?" "Yes." I said, "I'll be there." And we talked for a little bit and hung up the phone. And I started going back to church, and I, Lord willing, I haven't missed since. Amen. And that was in the early 90s. You know what I finally came to the realization of? This world's not what it's all about. Amen. It's all about serving Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all about laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And there's a purpose for that as well. That, listen, we just have to come to the realization that it's not about me and what I want and the things that I can accumulate upon this earth. It's about Jesus Christ and serving Him. I believe there's two events that need to take place in the life of every human being. There's a point in time where you need to get saved. If you're not saved, you need to trust Him for the forgiveness of sins. But then there's a second point in time in your life where you give your life over to Jesus Christ and say, "I'm going to serve Him no matter what. I'm going to give my life to the Lord." And I do have a Bible for that. It's called Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him. And say, "Lord, what would you have me do?" You know, this week we're talking about Faith Promise Missions. We're going to fill out a commitment card and we're going to turn that in. But perhaps the Lord's even dealing with some young people here, and maybe some not even young people here, about giving your life to Jesus Christ and saying, "I'll do whatever you want me to do. You want me to go to the Bible Institute at Berean? I'll go. You want me to go to Heartland? I'll go. Lord, whatever you want," that's what we're talking about. Realizing that this world is not what it's all about. It's all about serving Jesus Christ and laying up those treasures for Him. That's what it's about. So what was my problem? Well, I was more concerned about the treasures of this earth than I did about the things of God. For me, it was all about making money for myself and having a good time for myself. It was all about me. My treasure fully centered around on what I wanted to do. And then, again, after realizing how wrong I was, I realized I needed to serve Jesus Christ. Let me just say, it's never been the same since. Giving my life, I got back into church. I mean, I felt like a duck out of water, Brother Abels. I mean, I had been out of church for a while. I had been arrested. It was embarrassing. It was in the papers. And I got back into church. But you know what those church men did? Listen, men, you know what those men did when this wayward prodigal son came home? They loved on me. And they said, "Man, it's good to see you again. Listen, Pay attention to those who are around you. Pay attention to those who are hurting and those who are coming in the back doors, even those prodigals who come back. Love on them. I'm just telling you what, you never know what the Lord's going to do with some soul who's out there hurting even right now and knows he needs to be back in church. Make sure you love on them and embrace them and encourage them. Am I still on here? So, nothing. Let me just tell you what, I've had no regrets for the last 30 plus years of my life since I've got my life turned around and the Lord introduced me to a good, fine, young Christian woman. Listen, young people, you know where you're going to find a good mate? In the local church is where you're going to find him. You're not going to find him out there in the world or the honky-tonks. You're going to find him serving Christ. That's where you're going to find the good ones. And my life has had meaning these last 30 years. My life has had purpose and joy and eternal rewards that I'm waiting to give back to my Savior when I get to heaven. That, my friend, is what it's all about. Laying up for yourselves. Laying up for yourselves. Treasures in heaven. Let's stop and think about that. I mean, how much meaning really is there in something that passes away and perishes? How much meaning is there in something like that? Does your life have purpose and meaning right now? Let me ask you that. Does it have purpose and meaning right now? That's a great question. If not, perhaps you need to evaluate where your treasure is. And perhaps the fact is, no matter what the treasure is upon this earth, it will end and pass away to be no more. So the Lord tells us another fact in verse 20, that heavenly riches are incorruptible. Look again in verse 20. It says, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. So the first point, if I can remember what that was, the first point was that we must lay up treasures in heaven. The second point is that heavenly riches are incorruptible, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Peter says it this way. He says in 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So every born-again believer should lay claim and set his or her heart on your heavenly inheritance, an inheritance that will be waiting for you when you see your Savior. Let me ask you, are you working for that today? Are you working on laying up that treasure that you're going to be able to lay back at our Savior's feet one day very soon? Are you doing that? Are you being faithful to Him with every ounce of your being? And let me just throw in here too, this is a free one, but it's not just about filling out a card next Sunday morning or whenever you fill that card out and give it in. I mean, we're talking about finances. This is a Faith Promise Missions meeting, so we're talking about money. But I'm just telling you what, it's not just all about money. It's called service to the King. It's about giving our bodies to Him, about being faithful in ministries and being active in the local church. Are you helping out with the nursery? Are you coming out to prayer meeting? Are you going out on visitation? Are you singing in the choir? Are you helping with a Sunday school class or teaching? Or do we just come to church and we sit here like this and fill a pew, and then when the preaching's finally done, then we walk out the doors? Let me just say what, are you being active in your local church? Are you laying up those treasures in heaven where nothing can touch them? And love, I just want, because here's the thing. The Lord's going to get His will done at Berean Baptist Church with or without you. He's going to get it accomplished. And what He does, I believe, what He does is He's looking for people. He's looking for members of Berean Baptist Church that He can use to fulfill His will. And He knows who's willing, going to be willing to step up and to fulfill and to lay up those treasures and to be used by Him. And He knows who's not going to. And what I want, and what you ought to want, is to be willing to say, Lord, would you use me? Lord, don't pass over me or Berean Baptist Church as a whole. Maybe he needs to see another church started in the state of Missouri or in the area or another missionary sent out. And he's looking for young people to surrender to the foreign field. Young people, are you willing to say, Lord, I'd be willing to go? Because I'm telling you what, he's going to use someone. But here's what I want. I want him to use me. I'm like, pick me. I'm here. I can be used. I don't have much talent. I can't hardly do anything. I can't sing. I think I threw Brother Abel's off during the song service a couple of times. But I'm just telling you what, I just want to be used by God. Because are you laying up those treasures in heaven tonight? And then number three, finally the Lord makes the point that these treasures are secure. They're secure. Verse 20 ends by saying, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I love that. Last I checked the scriptures, thieves can't break into heaven. Wouldn't that be something? Someone broke into the church there at First Baptist about 3 years ago. And when they broke into one of the storage facilities, they took none of the church stuff. They stole every tool I owned. Amen. I'm like, how does that happen? You know, so now we have security. And we had security going. And then we found out the security the alarm system wasn't even working for those sheds out there, even after they were plugged in. I'm like, man, live, we gotta fix this. And so nothing is safe upon this earth, but I'm just telling you what, in heaven, nothing, all rewards are gonna be there. No one or anything can take away a person's heavenly riches. And I don't know if you caught that, but if you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, they're going to be waiting there for you when you arrive. One of my favorite subjects and one of my favorite things and I like to preach about this, is the subject of eschatology. Eschatology is a big $5 word for end time events and things that are going to happen. Things that are going to happen when the Lord comes back. And just very briefly, like, you know, did you know the Lord could return tonight? You know, there's nothing hindering Him from coming tonight. You know, He could come before we go to bed tonight. Are you ready for that? Are you prepared for that? I mean, I don't know that I'm prepared, but I'm working on it every day, you know, to have my life where it needs to be for Christ when He returns. I just want to have all my ducks in a row. I want to have my sins confessed before Him when He returns. So, excuse me, let's say that the Lord comes back right now, and then we're going to be with Him for 7 years in heaven while the 7 years of tribulation takes place upon this earth. And so while we're in heaven, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. While the 7 years of tribulation are taking place, then we're going to come back with Him in Revelation 19 at the Battle of Armageddon. Then He's going to establish His kingdom, His millennial kingdom, for 1,000 years. And so you and me, as born-again believers, we're going to be ruling and reigning with Him for 1,000 years in this millennial kingdom. Is that not going to be awesome? I mean, so how does this play out? Well, so I in my head, I'm probably wrong on parts of this. It's a lot of it. But at any rate, how I have it played out in my head is, so the judgment seat of Christ, I liken, you know, the Lord, this is being the Lord, and we're going to stand and give an account for the things that we've done in our body. Now, we're not going to be judged for our sins because we've been forgiven. We've been cleansed. When the Father looks at me, He doesn't see Scott Nell the sinner. He sees Scott Nell who's been cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Big difference right there. When He looks at an unbeliever, He sees their sin, and that's a penalty they're going to have to pay for. But my sins have been paid. Technically, their sins have already been paid for with the shed blood. They just have not accepted Christ as their Savior to take advantage of that. So at any rate, so I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ, and I'm going to give an account for the works that I have done in my body. The fire is going to come down from heaven. The fire of God is going to try my works. And those things that I have done for Jesus Christ, those things, that those treasures that I have laid up in heaven, the fire is going to come down and try my works. And the good works, the gold, silver, precious stones, I'll receive rewards for. And the bad things, or the things that I've done for my glory, for my selfishness and things of that nature, are going to be burned up, the wood, hay, and stubble. But if you'll look in Revelation chapter 4 sometime later, Revelation chapter 4, it seems like those 24 elders are representative of saints of our age. And those 24 elders in Revelation chapter 4 are seen to be giving back their rewards to the Savior, because He is the one who is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. It's not us, it's Him. So those saints are going to pick up those rewards, and they're going to give them back to my Savior. So I'm sitting here thinking, I'm going to be here one of these days. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to be standing here, and it seems like a public manifestation, excuse me, where I'm going to give an account for the things that I have done. And when it's my turn, the fire is going to come down. Let me ask you this. Are you prepared for that day when the fire of God is going to come down and try your works? Some of you have been saved for 5 years, 5 months. Some of you have been saved for 50 years. What's going to be standing there when the fire of God comes down? And Paul calls it the terror of the Lord. I know there's been different views on what that is. I think that the terror of the Lord is going to be a frightful situation, because I believe that there's going to be a lot of Christians who stand there at this day when that fire comes down, and they're going to have nothing to show for their service to Jesus Christ. All the years they've been saved, they've not been getting involved in laying up treasures in heaven. Is it going to be that big of a deal? I think it's going to be when He has saved your soul and all He's asked for you is to serve Him, and you have nothing. Let me ask you this. Let me put it this way. Has there been anyone here, and I'll be honest, who did not go to a birthday party? You've been invited, but you didn't go because you didn't have a gift? Or you said, no, we're going by Walmart before we go because I don't have a gift. Am I right on that? That's good preaching, even though no one's agreeing with me on that. That's true. You're like, I can't go, I don't have a gift. Could you imagine being saved for all these years and not having a gift to lay back at your Savior's feet? Because we've been so earthly minded that we haven't been laying up those treasures for ourselves. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What I want in my mind, I've run this through Brother Abel so many times. I want to have so many treasures and so many rewards that I want to have to say, Brother Boonser, Brother Boonser, come help me. Help me. So many words. Come help me out and help me give those back to my Savior. Why would you say that? Because you're so prideful, you want to have all these rewards? No, because they're for Him. They're for His glory, for His praise. I just want to live my life in such a manner that I'm telling you what, I want dump trucks to pull up. I don't think that's going to happen. But I want dump trucks to pull up and help me to give back to my Savior because He loves me so. And I'm so unworthy, and all I want to do is to be found well-pleasing to Him so that He gets the glory. And then I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. And then we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And the Bible tells us if you're faithful in that which is least, you know, the filthy mammon of man, then you'll be made rulers over much. And I believe that how the level of how we rule and reign with Jesus Christ is going to be shown right here, and it's determined right here by what we do today. If we're faithful in that which is least, are you even tithing? I mean, that's the least we can do. That's just obedience and an arithmetic, a calculator. And that's, are you tithing? So then are you getting involved with Faith Promise Missions? Are you serving? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Some of these things, folks, are just our reasonable service. It's just our reasonable service. So how we are rewarded is going to determine the level of our ruling and reign with Him. And I'm, Brother Abels, I'm just praying for a cul-de-sac. I'm just telling you, if I just give me a cul-de-sac to rule over, that'd be fine. I just want to be found pleasing unto Him is what I want. So listen, I don't want to be standing there as some Christians, and I'm done here, I don't want to be standing there as some Christians empty-handed because I was too concerned about the treasures of this earth. No, time is short. It's time to lay up for ourselves. Here's what it's time for, to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. And sometimes we just need to be reminded that all the material possessions we have comes from God anyway. From Him. He owns it all. It's ironic to think that what we have belongs to us. What you have doesn't belong to you. You have that because of God, when He is the one who's given us that. So we're nothing more than stewards of God's blessings. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that's why Solomon warned us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the treasures of life, or are the issues of life. And the reason for that, verse 21 tells us, for where your treasure is, in Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So here's the point. Your heart and your treasure will both be in the same place. They will. They'll be in the very same place, either heavenly or earthly. They cannot be separated. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So here's a wonderful part about this. The choice is ours. I get to make that choice. Where is your treasure today? So this week we're going to be given the opportunity. We're going to be given the opportunity to lay up treasure somewhere, because we're going to do it somewhere. So we're going to have the opportunity to lay up treasure somewhere. And again, Missions Conference, my favorite meeting of the year. The reason for that is because it offers us a tangible way not to show where our treasure is, but to show where our heart is. It's an opportunity to, as Paul tells the Corinthians, to show the proof of our love. Because where our love is shows us where that treasure is. Taking up the cards, I think, Lord willing, on Sunday, let's continue to pray. Let's take full advantage of the prayer time that we have available, asking God to give us that direction that we need. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you this. Are the decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis, are those decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis made with thoughts of heaven or thoughts of the world? Are you making decisions based upon the comforts of this earth or the rewards of heaven? Are you being faithful to God and to His commands? Are you investing in that which is eternal? It's never too late to start. That's, you know, one of the things I say today. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. So let's prioritize and reorganize if necessary and start supporting the work of Christ. Maybe there's someone here today, tonight, and you're not even certain you're going to spend eternity. Where you're going to spend eternity when you die? Do you have that assurance that heaven is your home? I'm just saying, what if that is the case? If you're not certain, please come and let someone take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Maybe there's some young people or even some elderly people, older people, and you feel like the Lord is calling you to do something impossible. I'm just telling you, trust the Lord. Give your life over to Him. If you have questions, if you have doubts, if you need prayer, why don't you come this evening? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll stand to our feet. And if God's spoken to your heart, or maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, Sunday's coming. I need help. I need wisdom. I need direction. I need to make certain that I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Father in heaven, we just come into your presence today. I thank you for everyone's attention. I thank you for this time where we could set aside and open up your word and be challenged, Father, from the scriptures. And I just pray for the good folks here at Berean that you would just encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, this is a big decision that needs to be made. And perhaps you're, I know you're working on hearts about the Faith Promise Commitment cards, but perhaps you're dealing with the lives of some young people or some other folks, Father, who to give their life to you or to serve in some capacity, or maybe even to just get more involved at church, or maybe to be a better witness, a better testimony at work. Or Father, there's so many areas in which we can give our lives to you. And I pray that there's someone here that's not saved, that they would come and let someone show them out of the Bible how they can be saved. But nonetheless, Father, help us to take full advantage of this prayer time to be ready for Sunday. We'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to have a couple of verses of them. Invitation. Brother John's going to lead us. And if God's spoken to your heart, why don't you come? But on this first verse, as he begins singing, why don't you come tonight?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior
laying up treasures
calling.
Upon this earth. Are you laying treasures up in heaven?
I can hear
the choice
my
is yours.
Savior calling.
You need to come. Why don't you come?
Take thy cross and follow.